Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com. Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The scene in 99 was unforgettable. The Women's World Cup soccer ball at the back of the net, Brandi Chastain falling to her knees, tearing off her jersey in joy. The very image of triumph, of American women stepping up in sports. And now it may be trumped. A tough, gritty, new Team USA has fought its way to the World Cup finals Sunday. USA versus Japan, and what a story it's already been. This hour on Point, American women's soccer and the new road to the World Cup. You can join the conversation. Have you watched this team? Have you caught the fever? What do you see playing out on the field? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We will hear in this hour from a member of the famous 1999 Women's World Cup Championship team and from a tip-top coach who has two players in the cup right now. But joining us first from Germany, where this World Cup is playing out, is Grant Wall, veteran writer for Sports Illustrated, who has followed it all. Grant, thanks so much for being with us. Welcome back to On Point.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to be back on.
So tell us about this team. We'll have listeners who have followed, you know, kick by kick, goal by goal, and others who don't know a darn thing and who have just had the memory of Brandi Chastain and her jersey or no jersey. What's up with this team, Grant?
Well, I think it's really an impressive team that has shown an amazing ability to come back when the chips are down. This quarterfinal against Brazil was one of the most remarkable games I've ever seen in my career. The U.S. was down a player after having a player sent off. They were down a goal against Brazil. There were literally seconds left until this team was going to be eliminated from the World Cup, and they kept pushing forward and got a miraculous goal on a brilliant cross by Megan Rapinoe, and Abby Wambach finished it. And then the team went ahead and won the game on penalty kicks at the end. And ever since then, this team has really taken off in popularity over the last week, where just a week ago, there were only three print media members from the U.S. here, and now there's 100.
Here's a little bit from that game in Dresden. This was the quarterfinal game against Brazil. U.S. rallying as the clock went deeper and deeper. Down a goal, down a player. Here it is. Abby Wambach was determined not to give up. Here's Ian Dark and Julie Foudy announcing.
Rapinoe gets a crossing. It's towards Wambach. Oh, can you believe this? Abby Wambach has saved the USA's life in this World Cup.
I can't believe it. And what a ball that was by Megan Rapinoe. And look at Brazil. Shell shock. Second minute into extended time. Comes and misses. She's known to do this. And Abby, without flinching, Wambach.
Wow. If you haven't got the fever already, that's about all it takes right there, Grant, to get it. That, of course, tied it up. And then, as you say, Grant Wall, with Sports Illustrated, in that quarterfinal game against Brazil on Sunday, kind of epic contest here, the winning goal. The U.S. team's Allie Krieger set up to take the fifth and final penalty shot to potentially secure the win.
The biggest moment, this, of her soccer life. Allie Krieger, who recovered from that life-threatening illness 5 years ago, can win it for the USA here. And she does! And the USA are into the last four! It's been a near miracle, this, in Dresden.
And then on to beat France, 3-1 in the semis, and now ready to go up against Japan on Sunday. Grant, the comments that the U.S. coach, Pia Sundhage, Swedish, but coaching the American team, made afterward have turned so many heads, She said, somebody's writing this book, and it's something about the American attitude that they find a way to win. It's unbelievable. And she went on, she said, well, just look at their faces. It's contagious. I come from Sweden. I get the opportunity to coach this wonderful team, and it's contagious, this great attitude. They bring out the best performances in each other. You know, this idea of American exceptionalism has had a lot of political exercise in this country recently, Grant, but there was the Swedish coach kind of handing it to her American players.
I thought that was fascinating, and I've run into that in European soccer before. Sir Alex Ferguson, the great coach of Manchester United, once told me about that American thing, as he put it, this kind of American spirit that even if you're against all odds, you continue to act as if you're not. And when an American says that, it can come off to a lot of people as jingoistic or arrogant. But I run into that a lot from Europeans, and including Pia Sundhage, the Swedish coach of the U.S. team. She said that, and there is a belief on her part that there is this kind of American aspect to the way they came back against Brazil.
Let's hear straight from one of the players there. This is after the Wednesday game, semifinal against France. American star goalkeeper Hope Solo talking with ESPN, saying her team will never give up.
We're calm the whole time. We know we're going to win. I knew from the very beginning we were going to find a way to win. That's this team's mentality. We do it for our country. We do it for our nation. It's our mentality. We're going to win. And I knew our team would dig us out. I didn't play my best game. But with that said, my team was there for me, my defense was there for me, and we put the game away.
Grant Wall, stand by there in Germany. I want to welcome into our conversation right now from Denver, Colorado, Becky Burley. She's got two players on this team, herself one of the winningest coaches in American women's college soccer, just a tremendous record and background. Amy Wambach played for her at the University of Florida for the Gators there. Becky Burley, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
You must be watching very, very closely. You know a couple of these players just about as well as anybody can know them when it comes to the field. What do you think has powered the U.S. team to this point? It hasn't been easy, but here they are.
It hasn't been easy, but I agree with Grant. I think it's all about the mentality of this team. It's been incredible to watch. You know, I know Abby very well, and her on-the-field leadership that she's exhibited in this World Cup has just been amazing. I feel like the team has rallied behind her, and she's just carrying.
Is there an American style of play that's being demonstrated in these games, Becky?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I think that if you compare us to some of the other teams that have been in the World Cup, our style of play may not be what's getting us the victories. I think it's more our mentality. You know, we were at times outplayed by France, at times outplayed by Brazil, but ultimately that can-do attitude is what's getting it done.
Grant, how would you describe the American way of soccer, women's way of soccer that you're seeing winning on the fields?
Well, the U.S. reputation over the years has been as a very athletic, very physical, very strong team that does have this tenacity and will that is overpowering to a lot of the other teams around the world. And it's true that other teams in this tournament have more skill on the ball and pass the ball better, including Japan, the team the U.S. is playing in the final. And I know that the American Federation wants there to be more skill in the future. That's how you're going to continue winning these tournaments. And there are players on this U.S. team that are creative on the ball, whether it's Megan Rapinoe or Lauren Cheney. And they've been important, I think, in the last couple of games to turn the tide.
Let's hear Amy Wambach, who's been so important here. This is just minutes after the U.S. victory over France in the semifinals, telling ESPN that despite the French dominance during most of the game, winning for the American team was about one thing.
This is our journey. This is our dream. France is a great team. I think that there were moments when they were outplaying us. It's a rainy day. The ball's slippery. At this point, it's about who wants it more. It's about who's willing to leave it all out in the field.
Abby Wambach, who has just been spectacular in these games, willing to leave it all out on the field. You saw her from freshman year in college, Becky. This is not a new character to you.
No, definitely not. Abby was very much like this as she arrived at Florida, and She's just such a tough competitor. You know, she's always been willing to lay it on the line for anything, to score a goal, to save a goal. And she's doing it on a regular basis, and I think that's what makes all of her teammates look up to her.
But here I've got feedback from listeners online. Brian says, I know we all hear about heart and spirit and all those Hollywood qualities Americans love so much, but can we also acknowledge, Brian writes, that you don't get to the World Cup final without quite a bit of skill and talent? What do you say, Coach?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I agree with Grant, too. We have some really terrific young creative players on this group. Ali Krieger, who's been training in Germany and playing in Germany, she has brought a whole different dimension to that right back position. I mean, there's some really good things going forward with this team, but I think that that combination of us having that new creativity as well as that can-do attitude is what's going to bring us to the final and win it.
What about this Swedish coach, Grant? How important has she been to this team's maturation and play?
Well, she has a great record as the coach of the U.S. team. Pia Sundhage came on at the end of 2007 after a World Cup in which the U.S. was beaten 4-0 in the semifinals by Brazil. And she didn't have very much time to get the team ready for the 2008 Olympics, and still did. And they won the gold medal, surprisingly. Abby Wambach broke her leg right before that, and they didn't have their best player. They still won the gold. They're in a position to win the World Cup here. And so you start to ask, what is Pia doing? And part of what her goal has been is to introduce maybe a bit more creativity and patience into the way the U.S. plays the game while still retaining all of these great qualities that the U.S. team has always had.
When they're up against Japan on Sunday, plenty of patience there. And we saw that demonstrated against Sweden, who had earlier beaten the U.S. team on the way to the final, Grant.
Well, I mean, Japan is really amazing to me in this tournament. I think their upset of Germany in the quarterfinals was the biggest upset in the history of women's soccer. There was so much excitement here in Germany over the women's team. They were getting just gigantic television audience numbers, filling stadiums, and maybe the pressure was too big. But everyone thought Germany really had the best chance to win this World Cup. And Japan beat them, came back and beat Sweden in the semis. And here they are, 90 minutes away from an amazing triumph.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about American women's soccer. And it's Team USA soaring into this weekend's Women's World Cup final, USA versus Japan. In just a moment, we'll hear one of the members from the famous 1999 victorious Women's World Cup American team. Christine Lilly will join us. Grant Wall is with us from Frankfurt, Germany, where the big final will be on Sunday, 2 p.m., writer for Sports Illustrated. Becky Burley joins us from Denver, Colorado. She's head coach of the women's soccer team, a highly successful team at the University of Florida. She has coached two of the U.S. national players, Heather Mitz and Abby Wambach, the big star so far in the American advance on the World Cup. On Wednesday, during the World Cup semifinals in Germany, the U.S. took the lead over France in the 79th minute with the corner kick by forward Lauren Cheney, headed in by Abby Wambach here from ESPN.
Cheney everywhere, taking the corner kick.
Just can't handle her size and her physical dominance. And again, Abby Wambach to the rescue.
Abby Wambach to the rescue. Becky Burley coached her. And Becky, we've got online here. Wauk says those were two of the sickest goals, as in greatest, he's ever seen in the most clutch of moments. Speaking of Abby, writes, she is a killer and we are lucky to have her on our side. A killer, Becky, on the field?
Well, she's a killer of opposing defenses, I can tell you that much. I mean, her ability to head the ball is unlike any other woman in the world. I mean, she is, like Julie says in the broadcast, just physically dominating.
And Grant, describe that moment for us, that header, what it took to make that happen by Abby Wambach.
Well, Abby would say the first thing is the service. Just a good serve from the corner by Lauren Chaney, who's been good on set pieces during this entire tournament. But they had communicated at halftime, and Wambach had told Chaney, put it on the back post and we'll score a goal. And that's exactly what happened. It was an interesting play in the sense that the French goalkeeper didn't do a great job getting off her line. And if you make the slightest mistake, Wambach will make you pay for it. And that's what she did on this one. Really an impressive ability to get her head on the ball and do it in a clutch situation at a time, actually, when the U.S. was a little bit on the ropes. It had been a 1-0 lead. France equalized and was having the run of play until not long before that goal.
Plenty of help out there at that semifinal game on Wednesday. Rising U.S. star Alex Morgan came alive here with a header from Wambach to nail the American lead. Ian Dark announcing.
Wambach with the header down towards Rapinoe. Has been terrific since she came on. Morgan's got in behind here. It's Alex Morgan. Can she finish this one? Oh, it's a splendid goal! Alex Morgan, 3-1 USA! And surely now, on the way to Frankfurt.
Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, and off they went. Here was the coach, Pia Sundhage, telling ESPN that there was one major force driving her U.S. women's team toward victory.
A big heart. I think France played very well. And in the beginning, we did okay, but then we just lost our legs. But we picked up the heart. That is why we were winning well.
And the big hopes for a win again. Grant Wall, Becky Burley, please stand by. Let's turn the clock back just a little bit here, like 12 years. World Cup 1999. America watched as Brandi Chastain lined up against China for the final penalty kick.
The USA could win the World Cup on this next kick. Chastain will take it. She missed a penalty kick against China in the Algonquin Cup, and they lost that game.
Julie Foudy, Mia Hamm, Michelle Akers, and Christine Lilly, all big powers on that team. Christine Lilly, who played on that 1999 World Cup championship team, joins us right now from Needham, Massachusetts. Christine, we're so pleased to have you with us. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Sam. How are you doing?
Very well. You're watching this team, no doubt. What do you see going on with this team? How is it unlike yours then, Christine?
They're winning, so it's very similar.
Yes, in that, no question.
It's been great. And obviously the American side watching that's been great. But I think overall the whole Women's World Cup has been amazing. And for people that haven't tuned in before to soccer and just started watching this World Cup, I think we've got a lot more fans now.
Think about style of play and what you're seeing on the field. You're very much out there still training young soccer players. Mm-hmm. What do you see in the team that the U.S. is fielding this time, this high in the World Cup competition?
Well, you know, I think when Pia talked after the last game, or I think it was the Brazil game when she said heart, you know, to me, there's no substitute for that, and that's been the backbone of our team. But I think also now with the growth of the game and how it's developed with technically, tactically, and all the countries now being invested by their governing bodies, and there's more support behind the women's, the level of the game is getting so much better, and I think you've seen that in this World Cup.
We'll talk more specifically about that, and maybe compare it to your own team in 1999 mm-hmm. in technical terms. You had heart then, and there's been a lot of heart on display this time, but mm-hmm. in technical terms, how would you compare your team and this team heading into the World Cup final?
You know, I think overall, there's probably more technical players now than there were when we played, but I still think we had a very technical team. I think athletic-wise, we were very good, but I think technically Michelle Akers was probably one of the most technically sound players I've ever played with, and she was our dominant force, just like Abby is right now. So, I mean, I think it's just gotten better. I mean, I hate comparing teams because it's just time of what they're doing things. But I think this team overall, with the players on the bench and what they can do, is technical, and then it's a matter of what they do with it.
Now, it's not as if we haven't had a lot of winning American women's soccer's team. I mean, mm-hmm. 04 Olympics, 08 Olympics, 96 Olympics, 91 World Cup, 99 Women's World Cup. But what does it mean for soccer, women's, girls, for that matter, soccer in this country now, Christine, for this team to be back at this altitude in the competition?
Well, to sum it up, winning winning is pretty much what sells it here in America. We love winning teams. We support winning teams. We go crazy about winning teams, and I think that's what you're seeing, what's happening with this team right now. It's during the summer, not a whole lot going on with other sports. The attention on the women, on soccer right now is just overwhelming, and that is huge. This is our time to sell the game and show people what we have to showcase and show how much women's soccer has grown and how great of a game it is.
Becky Burley, how do you compare the teams? Christine's 1999 team and this 2011 in the World Cup final U.S. women's team.
I'm with Christine. It's pretty tough to compare because there's just a different dynamic on each team. But, you know, the one thing I can say about the 99 team was, I mean, they showed that same drive, that same ability to play with heart that this team is playing with. And I think it's just two different styles. You know, I feel like with Abby as one of the focal points of this team's physicality is always going to be that way, in the same way that Michelle Akers was of that older group. But, you know, I agree, women's soccer is definitely on the upswing in terms of producing more creative and technical players, and we have to do that to keep up with the rest of the world.
Christine Lilly, we've just got you for another couple minutes here. Mm-hmm. If you could be at the sidelines, you've watched Japan, no doubt. You've seen this American team. What's your best advice to them going into the championship final game on Sunday?
Well, Japan, I mean, along with all the Asian teams, they're very technical, organized. Their possession is great. Their touch is great. They usually lack in the finishing third, but Japan hasn't lacked that at all this tournament, and that's, I think, what's been why they've been so successful. I think the U.S. has to keep the physical play involved, has to get possession for themselves. If Japan keeps possession of the ball, they're going to get the U.S. players are going to get tired of chasing. Attack them, put Japan on their heels. They're not going to like that and put the pressure that we have. And take a advantage of our set pieces, because obviously you can see Abby scoring on corner kicks, free kicks, and we're going to, you know, we're taller than the Japanese players right now, so right there's an advantage for us, so we have to really take care of those situations, I think. But I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a great game, and I'm looking forward to it.
Judging by Japan versus Sweden, it should be a great game. Sweden, of course, beat the U.S. women's team earlier in this competition. Does the U.S. team have an attack up its sleeve, a physicality up its sleeve that Sweden does, did not, Christine?
You know, it's the World Cup, and that's why the World Cup is so great, because every game something can happen. Something different could happen. I mean, you look at, I thought Germany should beat Japan. I thought Sweden should have beat Japan. So I don't even want to say what I think right now. but it's the World Cup, and whether people say pressure, the everything about it sometimes gets a hold of people, and things don't go the way that you think. But the one thing that the U.S. has is we've been there before. Maybe Christy Rampone's the only one playing in a World Cup final, but these players have been in big-time situations. We've been at the top of Olympic gold medal stands, so they've been there before, so they know what that pressure's like. So with that said and done, I mean, you hope that they take that advantage of what they've been through and put a great game together. But you got to play 90 minutes of great soccer, because that 1 minute, that one slide tackle, that one push can make all the difference.
We've been there before. You've been there before, Christine Lilly, in 1999, unforgettably. And now another team coming along, and it's the way it's supposed to work, pushing in there for those iconic images that Americans will always remember. Christine, thanks so much for being with us today. Really great to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Tom. Appreciate it.
Christine Lilly, former two-time World Cup champion, winning, among others, the 1999 World Cup final alongside Mia Hamm, Julie Foudy, Brandi Chastain. Here from the Wednesday game, semifinal game, Sweden versus Japan. Japan showing its skill and command on the ball throughout that game, putting them ahead here 3-1.
A story this would be if the Nadashiko of Japan can claim a place in the Women's World Cup final for the first time in this year of all years.
They've been playing beautiful football. It's a joy to watch. They spread it with possession wide, high. They always have support on the ball.
And they brought it home over a taller Swedish team, like the American team. Grant Wall, what made the difference in that competition?
Well, I think Japan has figured out not only how to finish, like Christine was saying, but also how to defend against set pieces with from taller, more physical teams like Germany, like Sweden, and they're playing with a confidence that I've never seen before. And I think that's something that will get tested again, obviously, when you have Abby Wambach being such a dominant aerial presence for the U.S. team. That's my big question heading into the game. Is Japan going to have an answer for that?
Of course, Japan has a lot on the line here with all the difficulty back in their home country recently. It probably means more than it ever could with tsunami and nuclear meltdown. At that semifinals game, here was ESPN commentator Kate Markgraf taking a look back at what the Japanese team has been through on and off the soccer field.
This is a completely different team. They've been through so much as a country. Ando's lost her house. Miyama lost friends, and her house is filled with water. This is just sport, and as much as sport is an escape from life, they've seen the worst. They can play without fear. They're going to do their best, leave it all on the field. And being back one goal, you can always fight and you can always get it again. Never say die attitude at all times.
Never say die attitude on two teams here, and each with a lot on the line. Joining us right now from Germany as well, Berlin, but from Germany, where the World Cup is playing out, is Jennifer Doyle, sort of U.S. women's soccer super fan, writes about the cultural politics of soccer from her blog from a left wing. She happens to be also professor of English and gender studies at the University of California, Riverside, but super fan foremost right now. Jennifer Doyle, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Tom, for having me on the show.
Give us a sense of just what it's been like in Germany, in the stadium, watching these games.
Well, I've only been to one game live and in person, which was the last game against France. And
that'll do.
I was embedded with the players' families, and so I was surrounded by the most wonderful spirit imaginable, the people who perhaps of all the people in the stadium and watching the games from on television loved the players the most. So it was a fantastic experience. It was also a really, really good game. One of the things that you could see in the stadium was the level of concentration on the American players, of just really not letting go of their focus and adjusting the game, coming back when the flow of the game seemed to be against them, just absolutely constantly thinking on the field about ways that they can key their game to respond to what was a really, really strong and creative team.
As Grant and Becky Burley say, it's a physical team. How does the family respond when it gets rough out there, the families, when it gets rough out on the field, Jennifer?
The families want to see the players laying it all on the field, as everyone has been saying in this conversation. They're really rooting for their players to play their best game, and there were a couple times when people went down on the field and everyone, you know, the whole stadium goes a little silent until you see everybody get up. So I would say that there's absolutely no hesitation in terms of how you root for, you know, you want to see Abby Wambach in the air playing with no fear, because anything less would not be her game. And the same is true for every player on that field.
Becky Burley, if you were on the sidelines, if you were coaching this team, and you've come about as close as you can get to doing that at the college level with literally two of these players, what would you say looking at Sunday?
Well, I think it's going to be a really big contrast in styles between the Japanese team and the American team. But at the same time, I agree with Christine in the sense that set pieces are going to be very, very big. I think if Japan tries to man mark Abby with just one player, that's a huge mistake, because she's just dominant. I think the other thing is that we do have to take the game to them. Japan wants to keep the ball and possess it, and if they do that, you know, it can get very tiring to chase that ball for 90 minutes. So the Americans have got to really make it a point to keep possession of the ball when we have it and make the Japanese chase a little bit. But it's going to be really exciting. I can't wait. It's just, you know, this contrast in styles with both teams having so much on the line is such a compelling story for Japan as well as the U.S. team. I mean, you can't write scripts like this.
But Grant, the U.S. has a huge lead in the long-term face-offs between these two teams. I mean, many, many more victories than losses to Japan.
Well, they've played 25 times in history, and the U.S. has never lost against Japan and has beaten Japan three times already this year. But you really do have to keep in mind that Japan is on a level right now that their nation has never been on when it comes to women's soccer, and beating Germany, beating Sweden, they must feel tremendously confident right now about their chances and feel like they can win this game.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about American women's soccer and Team USA soaring into this week's Women's World Cup final, USA versus Japan on Sunday. Big, big game. We're joined from Frankfurt, Germany, by Grant Wall, great sports writer for Sports Illustrated, author of The Beckham Experiment. Becky Burley joins us from Denver, Colorado, head coach of the women's soccer team at the University of Florida. She launched that team back in 94, and what an era it's been for American women's soccer since. Two of her former players on the U.S. team in Germany, Heather Mitz and the great Abby Wambach. And from Berlin in Germany, Jennifer Doyle joins us. She blogs from left wing on women's soccer and professor at the University of California, Riverside. Let's go to Josh in Norfolk, Virginia. Josh, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
You know, I was thinking, I've been playing soccer my whole life. I played through college and amateur and a little bit of a couple of pro games. And growing up, the U.S. men's national team was not very good, you know, in the 90s. And my sister and I, and she was older, you know, she was kind of my hero. We loved the women's team. And my hero, as much as hers, even though I was a guy, you know, was Michelle Akers and Mia Hamm and Julie Foudy and Christine Lilly. You know, I really looked up to them and wanted to get their autographs and go to the games and so forth. So they've had a profound impact on me as a male soccer player, regardless of you know, their gender, and really wish them all the best coming up here on Sunday.
Josh, I love getting that, and thanks very much for calling. And Grant Wall, you point out that with Title IX and the way it pushed sports toward American girls and women and American girls and women into sports, the U.S. in the 90s on the women's side had a kind of advantage that was very clear out there, Grant.
Well, the U.S. got a head start when it came to women's sports, and having the access to the facilities and the programs at the college level was a huge part of what created the success of the 91 and 99 World Cup winning teams for America. And it's a little bit tougher now because other nations have been going through that process more recently. And I think in this tournament, the big takeaway is going to be the global gains made in the women's game by countries like France and England and Germany and others, too. The game is getting better. It's more competitive, and it's very entertaining.
Jennifer Doyle, you're there in Germany following these games. I mean, is the U.S. still seen as a pathbreaker? Title IX made a big difference there. Do people, or I don't, teams from around the world look at the U.S. and know that, remember it?
Yes, well, and it's important to remember that Title IX still makes a difference insofar as Title IX requires equal access to resources for, you know, education, athletics,
right,
in schools from the very beginning. So our girls, you know, from the ages 5, 6, as soon as they enter into the school system, are gaining access to play, right, and then mm-hmm. later to training. And this is one of the things I think that actually supports the mental toughness that people are identifying as an American attribute. And I would actually say that attribute is a reflection of the fact that the girls on this team, the women on this team, have been playing this sport seriously as far back as they can remember. And that's something that actually very few women around the world can actually claim to have experienced with. And that's the reason why the U.S. Women's National Team represents something very real and very meaningful to women around the world. Right? It's the reflection of a national commitment to equal access to sport. And we still have a way to go in this country in terms of giving fully equal support to especially teams playing at the highest levels. There's still a lot of people involved with the women's game that think that the USSF could be doing better by the U.S. Women's National Team. But that said, what we do is far and ahead of most of the countries that are associated with FIFA. And I will say that the teams that we're seeing that were still alive at the semifinal level reflect a very serious commitment from their governments and from their national associations to professionalizing the women's game in those countries.
As big as soccer is around the world, that Title IX commitment in the United States still making a difference there. On Facebook, Christian says, go USA, beat Japan. John in Nashville, Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Pretty well. What do you see?
I'm sorry?
What do you see, sir?
Well, I tell you, when we were playing Brazil, I was actually registering my nephew and his friend from San Diego at a local university here. Mm-hmm. Although nobody was registering anybody, the whole staff, everybody there was glued to the big screen. It was coming down to the 122nd minute. And when all the events transpired, the whole place went nuts. I'm talking about the whole male staff leaping up, head coach and everybody, leaping up in the air, knocking over the registration table, going nuts over these wonderful American women. And what the coaching staff did this past week was use that as inspiration for these kids that are out here, especially my nephew from San Diego, playing in the humidity and heat of Nashville, Tennessee. And my nephew said, if those girls can play a man down for 60 minutes, I can make it through this heat. And it was just a big inspirational move. And I just so happy to see it. I do have one observation and one question for the coach, if you don't mind.
Sure, please, John.
My observation is, and I do a lot of rec coaching, and I've done a lot of soccer coaching.
Yep.
Certainly not on her level, but I just totally love the game. And I'm 65 years old. I never got a chance to really. I never grew up with soccer.
It wasn't in the United States really when you were a kid.
I grew up in California with basketball, football, and baseball. So, but I just love this sport. I love coaching rec ball and little kids and work on basic skills. But
so give us your question for the great Becky Burley, your coach.
Yes, my question is this. Now that Japan seems to be able to finish the last third, I'm a little worried about our back line. Japan seems to be able to find seams. And my other question is, I thought that all cards were erased after the semifinals or the quarterfinals, yellow and red. But I guess I'm wrong. Is that correct?
Let us pick them both up, John, and I appreciate your call. Becky Burley, what about it? First to the little strategy here. You know, if Japan doesn't flag in the final third, John's worried that they're getting good at finding seams in the back line, maybe the U.S. back line. What's a coach, what's your team do about that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Early in the World Cup, I was a little concerned about our back line as well. But, throughout the playoff games, we have just really done a good job of shutting down good teams. I mean, I think that even when Rachel Buehler went out and Becky Sauerbrunn came in, I mean, it was like a seamless transition in terms of the ability for them to take away passing lanes. And, yeah, I mean, France was still dangerous and there were still opportunities. But at the same time, we were much, much more cohesive in the back. And I think it's because we've taken on this total team defensive effort. It's not just the back line and Hope Solo. It's the entire team stepping up. You know, Abby dropped into the midfield. They made some other tactical changes that I think really made a difference in shutting down opportunities.
Grant Wall, the Japan team has shown itself as a real threat with the long kick into the goal. What about that threat in the U.S. team?
Well, you got to not have a situation where your goalkeeper, like the Swedish keeper, comes out too far and leaves the goal open for those 45-yard open goal shots.
Oh, that was amazing.
You know, one thing the U.S. really has going for it, among many, is Hope Solo in goal, I think, is pretty clearly the best goalkeeper in this tournament. And it makes a big difference. Her way of reading the game, knowing when to come out, when to stay on her line, and just her athleticism when it comes to shot stopping is better than the other goalkeepers here.
So many comments here online. We'll go to another call, 800-423-8255. Jake in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thanks for calling, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Pretty well. What do you see, Jake?
You know, I just wanted to make an observation on the quality of play that I'm seeing here from women's compared to men's World Cup, and for that matter, a lot of the men's divisions, in that I'm seeing much more just playing through a foul and not taking a dive, and that aspect really detracts for me, at least, and I don't think I'm alone with lots of other people. I mean, I've had this conversation with lots of friends, and it seems to be much more entertaining and really adds to the game for me.
Yeah, not so much theatrics. A lot of comment on that online, and I appreciate your call, Jake. Guest writes online, way better than watching guys rolling on the ground, clutching ankles, moaning at referees. A lot of comment on that. I mean, Jennifer Doyle, that has become a hallmark of men's soccer. On the other hand, we saw an instance of it on the Brazil team, it seemed, with Marta in the U.S.-Brazil game there, where it did happen here in women's soccer.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Brazil actually has quite a reputation for drawing from what one might say is a Brazilian tradition of exploring the theatrical dimension of the game. And for that, they actually earn a lot of ill will, sometimes I think quite unfairly, actually. So I do think they engage in gamesmanship, but they require a strong referee to actually push back. So One of the things we saw in that game was a lot of gamesmanship, which was being, in essence, encouraged by a very weak referee. So I do. It is true, though, that in the women's game, especially at this level, you see a lot less of diving, a lot less of the really cynical plays that you see in the men's game, with the exception of Brazil in this tournament. And I think one of the things that adds to the pleasure of it for viewers too is that the vast majority of the women that we're watching are amateurs, and so there's something particularly galling about watching that kind of cynicism when it's coming from men who are, you know, earning millions and millions of dollars. And when you see the way that these women play a very honest game, a very sincere game, and a very, very high-level game that's not marred by some of the most corrupt elements, right, of the men's game. So it's actually a kind of strange silver lining to the fact that the women's game is not professionalized internationally.
Jake, good to hear from you in Salt Lake City. And Grant, what about our Nashville caller's question on yellow card, red card, and how those penalties accumulate in the World Cup in such a way that they can just keep players just out of the competition? John was asking how that works.
Well, they made a switch in the rules a couple years ago so that there would be nobody missing the final of a World Cup based on accumulation of yellow cards. So if you got two yellow cards, you then missed the next game, if you accumulated two over more than one game. And they still keep that until the quarterfinal. But, you know, this way we'll see teams at full strength in the final. And I think it's a good, you know, change of the rules.
Let's go to David in Huntsville, Alabama. David, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. I've been really interested to hear the discussion about soccer. And as you can hear, I'm originally from England.
Right.
And, you know, came here a long time ago and have missed it. But it's fun seeing it come forward. What I'm really interested in, though, is the promotion of soccer as a way of keeping fit. I mean, it strikes me, it's like riding a bike or playing the guitar. Almost anyone can do it, and it takes minimal equipment. All you need is a ball, and it would be great if the national teams would promote it more, not just as an elite sport, but as something that everyone can do.
Yeah, David, yeah, I love that observation, and I really appreciate your bringing it to us there from Alabama. And let me take it to Becky Burley, normally in Florida, today in Denver, Colorado. But what about that, Becky, about soccer? I mean, it is so popular now among kids in general, among girls, absolutely. But it still doesn't have that sort of every street corner quality that you see in a lot of countries around the world. You coach so many great soccer players. David doesn't just want it at the tip-top highest level where you and others coach, but, you know, just sort of to really imbue life generally. Do you see that happening in this country? Or is it up against, I don't know what, baseball, basketball, video games? Or could it happen here, Becky?
That's a difficult question, because I think that we do see such a pervasive youth soccer. I mean, every corner of any neighborhood you see soccer players playing. But you don't really see the pickup version of it very often. Mm-hmm. You don't see, you know, a basketball court where there's people just gathered to play on their own. You don't see that. And I think that's part of the detriment of our country with this sport, is that we don't get that. And, you know, for example, you know, if you go to Brazil, if you're on the beach, people are playing soccer, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we can change that mentality. I think soccer is a lifetime sport. We don't have the local sports clubs like Europe has, where whole families go there from little kids to grandparents. Maybe some type of infrastructure like that would help facilitate our ability to have it as a lifetime sport. But I think it's a great point.
Jennifer Doyle, you're the super fan who's also got the gender studies angle here. What's it meant to American women, American girls, women, to see all this success in soccer in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I have two answers to that. One is to speak as a woman of my generation. I am just a little bit too old to have benefited from the impact of Title IX in terms of its expansion of access to sports when I was a little girl. So there were no girls' soccer teams at any of the schools that I attended until I went to college. So for me as an adult, seeing, for example, you know, the Rose Bowl full for the 1999 World Cup final. Mm-hmm. Just turning on the television, I got emotional just at the sight of all those people gathered to see those women play. And then for me, seeing, for example, a woman like Abby Wambach, the way she plays, people keep talking about her like she's some kind of a brute and as if there's no style or technique to what she does. But she's like the Marta of the air. And she plays with a certain kind of physical fearlessness that, to me, is liberating just to see. And girls today grow up with this as a reality, right? They grow up with those images from 99 forward. And so you see the transformation, actually, in girls' sense of physical possibilities, of what they can do with their bodies, right? Their sense of strength, the ways in which they imagine they move through space. So for the powerful impact of images of this kind of athleticism and skill in female athletes, I long to see more support for the women's game from the media, which has, whose support has really been weak at best.
But we're right here right now, and I'm sure you'll see it at least on this Sunday. We're up against the clock, but Jennifer Doyle, there in Berlin, in Germany, the blog is From a Left Wing. Thank you very much for being with us, Jennifer.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Becky Burley, great, great coach out of the University of Florida. Thanks so much for your time today, Becky.
Thanks, Tom.
And Grant Wall with Sports Illustrated in Frankfurt. We will all be watching Sunday, Grant. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Tom. Enjoyed it.
Here's a web comment from MT. Yes, the heart and skill of this team are fabulous to watch, but the real joy for me is to witness true team sport. I say we hand over the national debt resolution from Congress to the U.S. women's soccer team. When they return, they will find a way to get it done. We'll go out with Lady Gaga and The Edge of Glory. Good luck, Japan, but go Team USA on Sunday. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.